Father, you are great. You are also good. And you have given to us in your word all that we need for life and godliness. Illumine our hearts, challenge our minds, give us spirits that are willing to submit to whatever you tell us from it. For it is in Christ's name that we pray this. Amen. Well, as you're being seated this morning, please turn with me to the 67th Psalm. Psalm 67. Next Sunday, by the way, I will begin a new series of messages from the book of Daniel. I've entitled the series of messages, Kingdoms in Conflict. So that starts next Sunday here at the service. A year ago, I preached a message from this passage of Scripture, and I challenged you to think about what the Lord might do for us if we were willing and bold enough to ask Him. I called those big requests BIHARs, an acronym for those of you who have been around for a while, an acronym that stands for Big, Hairy, Audacious Request. They're the kind of request that only a sovereign God, whose intentions are always good toward His children, is capable of. It's a challenge for you and I to put to practice what it is that we say we believe about God. We make no bones about it. We believe that our God is great. Just like we sang a moment ago. We believe that our God is big and large and isn't contained by our will. He isn't a God that hopes to do certain things but can't because we put the brakes on what He's doing. He is a God that does as He pleases in the affairs of men, as we read this morning in the Proverbs. We plan, but ultimately it is His purposes that stand. We propose, He disposes. He's that kind of God. But He isn't just great, He is also good. And those of us who are His children have discovered this over and over again. His disposition toward us is favor. He is gracious and merciful and good to us. And He has demonstrated that over and over again. And it's the combination of those two qualities in God, His greatness and His goodness, that invites us to make very bold requests of Him. I often wonder if we insult Him by the kinds of prayer requests that we make. Timid, tepid, small, because we have not come to Him in the kind of faith that we ought to, that expresses our understanding of God as a great and grand sovereign God. So it's with that in mind, I want you to read with me the 67th Psalm this morning. May God be gracious to us and bless us. And make His face to shine upon us. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. Now, this particular passage of Scripture is, in a very real sense, the antiphonal response of the great Aaronic blessing. Now, if you want to keep your finger here, turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 6. And read with me the blessing that God gives to Aaron, the high priestly blessing that he is to pronounce upon the nation of Israel. Here's what he says, beginning in verse 24 of chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. So this is a kind of benediction, the kind that we offer here at the end of our services every Sunday, where we pronounce God's blessing upon God's people. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you and the Lord lift up His face to shine upon you and bring you peace. Psalm 67 is the congregation's response to that. When it says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. This is a request that God's blessings might fall upon us. Now, all of us are familiar with giving God's blessings to other people. You say it a lot. Somebody sneezes and you go, bless you. That's shorthand for God bless you. And we say that oftentimes at the end of a telephone exchange. Listen, God bless you. And we mean it from our heart. It is our desire that God bring and shine His grace and mercy upon the person that we're speaking to. So it seems a little audacious for us to say, God bless us. God be merciful to us. God make His face to shine upon us and bring us peace. It seems a little self-centered, doesn't it? And yet that's exactly what the psalmist tells us that we are supposed to do. We are boldly asking the Lord to continue to favor us with His grace. Grace that is seen in these three phrases. May God be gracious to us, or the phrase can be translated, merciful to us. God bless us. And God make His face to shine upon us. It is a request that God favor us with His presence, to not treat us as our sins deserve, but instead to treat us better than our sins deserve. That's what mercy is, by the way. If grace is the disposition of God to give us what we don't deserve, mercy is the disposition of God to give us better than we deserve. And in Christ, He has done that, hasn't He? He has shown us both grace and mercy so that instead of treating us like we deserve to be treated, He treats us better. He treats us as children. You have to understand that if you're ever going to make bold requests of Him. That you are not going to God, your judge. You are going to God, your Father. A God who has already made His face to shine upon you. There is something about the face of God that is terrifying. If He were to appear before us today in His unrefracted glory, I promise you, you wouldn't be sitting in those seats very long. You would hit the floor, and your face would hit the carpet, and you would bow before His presence, and you would tremble in His presence. This prayer is a request that God not approach us in His holiness and treat us as our sin deserves to be treated, but instead to come with a fatherly disposition so that His face, rather than terrifying us, warmly illuminates us. It shines down upon us and we bask in the radiance of that warm acceptance in Christ. Your prayer life will be greatly enlivened if you will begin to understand all that God has done to make you His child. All that God has done to satisfy His own justice and His own wrath in order that He might treat you with that kind of fatherly disposition. You are not naturally His child. You are naturally His enemy. And yet, in Christ, He has treated His own child as His enemy in order that He might treat those of us who are His enemies as His child. And that's what grace and mercy is all about. If you have never come to that God in repentance and faith, the most important thing you could do is to take that verse of chapter 67 and write it on your heart and to say to God this day, I want You to treat me with grace and mercy and as a child instead of the enemy that I rightfully am. That is an audacious prayer that I promise you He will answer yes. I assure you, if you come to Him in repentance and faith, He will not drive you away. We are asking that God might continue to favor us in very special ways as His children. And we are certain that He already has, and He will. Look at the end of Psalm 67, verses 6 and 7. The earth has yielded its increase. This is obviously an agrarian society, and they have just harvested food. And they're looking at barns that are now overflowing with grain, and they are absolutely blown away by the goodness of God in their harvest this year. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. Future tense. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. Spurgeon likens this to rain that first falls in the mountains and then runs to the valleys below. God brings His blessings to the world by first of all blessing His church. And it is in the overflow of the bounty of His blessings upon His people that the world is refreshed. That's what Psalm 67 is saying. It is you and I being bold enough to go to God and say, Father, bless us in order that we might then bless the world, that the world will turn to You. It is a hope, ultimately, that God's blessings might fall upon us and then overflow to the nations, that all peoples might praise God. After all, we Christians make a lot of pretty audacious claims about our God to the world. And we do. He is sovereign, and He is good, and He is near to His people. He treats us as His children, ordaining all that comes to pass so that what comes to pass brings about good and not evil. And in times like this, where we have people in our congregation who have lost their jobs and are struggling financially and others are very sick, it is natural for the world to look at our lives and see us in that kind of condition and say, hey, where is this God that you've been talking about? You're His child? Why does He treat you this way? This is how He makes His face to shine upon you. This is how He blesses you. And trembling, oftentimes in weakened faith, we say to the world, look, I know it appears right now that I have been abandoned by the Lord, but I have not. He is good, and He is merciful, and He is gracious to us. And in the end, He will bring about good for me through these circumstances. I live by faith, not by sight. And then we run to the Father and we say, do you hear what they say about you? Do you hear what they're saying, Lord, about you? I can't stand them to think of our Heavenly Father this way. Bless me, Lord, in order that they might know that You are the God that I say that You are. Read the Psalms over and over again. The psalmist cries out with exactly that kind of heart. Lord, listen to how they are talking about You. Answer my prayer that Your enemies will be scattered. Lord, the world is arrayed in unbelief against You and against Your anointed. Show Yourself powerful through me. Bless me in order that they might know the kind of God it is that we serve. Big, audacious requests rise out of hearts that are concerned about the reputation of our God in this world. And we want His renown to spread. And we want increasingly large numbers of people to join us in praising Him. Let all the nations be glad and sing for joy. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. We ask God to bless us so that the world sits up, sees it, and comes to praise Him as we do. By the way, this is the Old Testament version of the Lord's Prayer, the first three petitions, where we take the priorities of God in this world to our heart, and we begin to offer prayers in accordance with that. Before we ever say, Lord, we need our daily bread. Lord, our sins need to be forgiven. Lord, don't lead us into temptation. Before we ever say that, we go, what is it that God wants in this world? He wants His name to be hallowed. He wants His kingdom to come. He wants His will to be done here on earth as it is done in heaven. And so we pray that. We pray, Lord, cause Your name to be hallowed everywhere so that people, instead of treating Your name with disgust and disrespect, holds it up and treats it as holy. Lord, we want Your kingdom to come in glory and power like we talked this morning in Sunday school. So that increasingly Your saving rule will be seen on the earth. Lord, we want more and more people to do Your will here, just like the angels do it in heaven, just like the redeemed do it in heaven. Perfect obedience. We want larger and larger groups of people to be brought into that kind of saving relationship with You so that Your face will shine upon them. We want it for our children and our grandchildren and our neighbors and our friends and the people that we work with. We want them to come to a point where they see Your renown and they love You as we love You. And Lord, bless us in order that they might sing Your praises. This is what Jesus was saying when He said, look, let Your light so shine among men that they see Your good works and then they glorify Your Father who is in heaven. We are not a kind of version of the Calvinist prosperity gospel. I'm not for a moment telling you that what we're saying is, Lord, give us a Maserati so that the world drives by and sees our expensive sports car sitting in front of the church and they go, wow, I want to be one of them. If that's who God is, let me sign up now. Far from it. But we do want the blessings of God to rest upon us, and that includes material blessings, in order that we might then bless the world. We're asking in this prayer that God might bring about a great moment of spiritual awakening in the unbelieving world so that increasing numbers of people might turn to Him in faith and worship Him. Note how they respond. They respond in greater knowledge of God and His ways, verse 2, that Your way may be known on the earth and Your saving power among all nations. Do Iraqis need to know the name of Yahweh and His saving work in Jesus Christ? That's a rhetorical question. The answer is obviously yes, Tony. The Somalians need to increasingly know who God is so that they might erupt in praise and sing songs in their own native language and tongue that says, how great Thou art. The answer is absolutely yes. Do unregenerate in Myanmar need to hear the call of the gospel, hear the testimony of Jesus Christ, come under the sway of the power of the Spirit in awakening their dead conscience to a living hope in order that they might then erupt in praise and sing to Him? The answer is obviously they do. So Lord, we're asking for big, audacious, hairy things here. Bless us in order that Myanmarans and Somalians and Iraqis and many others around the globe will come to sing Your praises. We'll forego the Maserati if we can send another person to the mission field and have them proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We'll give up the Rolexes and all the rest if we can see the proclamation of the gospel spread to places where it isn't being preached now. And oh yeah, the neighbor across the street and the many people in our own nation. John Piper just preached a message not long ago where he said, we have 200 million people in the United States of America that are unchurched. 200 million. Making our own nation one of the most unchurched places in the globe. So yeah, we need it here too. They also respond in joy. Verse 4, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. They respond in reverence. Verse 7, God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. You see, an increased knowledge of God and His ways in Christ leads both to joy and to reverence, which is what our definition around here of worship is all about. Reverent joy. People that are serious about walking before the face of God and honoring Him for who He is, but also recognizing that He is our Father, and so we exclaim in joy, "How great Thou art! How great Thou art!" Melanie and I were gone last week. We were in another church. I'm not here to criticize what they were doing, but I walked into the worship service and all of the lights were out. Every one of them. Except for the stage lights. And the worship band and the music leaders, who were very talented, by the way, and there were a couple of songs that they sang that I liked very, very much, they were so loud that you couldn't hear the person behind you or in front of you singing. Instead, you stood there in the dark watching the professionals on the stage doing their thing in near anonymity with all of the people that are around you, and I thought to myself, where is the joy? Where is the worship? Where is the community of people that are worshiping the Lord in all of this? And then this morning, I stand here with you, and I can't hear Jeremy. I could barely hear the girls over here singing. And I had to really strain to hear the piano playing. Because of the voices of God's congregation lifting up their voices in worship and adoration to the Lord. I don't know if you guys in the back got the same sensation, but sit up here once in a while. You won't believe it. You sit on the front and you won't go to the back to the back. Because the voices of God's people encircling us with the joyful reverence of Christian worship. That's marvelous. Why wouldn't we want Iraqis to experience that? Why wouldn't we want the people that are today spending time at home doing whatever it is to come and join us and experience that? So Lord, bless us in order that more people might experience that kind of joyful, reverent worship. Notice the reasons they praise God. Verse 1, for His grace. Verse 2, for His power to save. You know, you can't worship a God who personally you have not experienced either His grace or His power to save. I mean, it's just formal, it's dry, it's dusty, it's not meaningful. But when the Spirit has blown into your life and He has reordered your entire existence around Jesus Christ, I mean, it's hard not to worship. It's really hard. For His fairness, verse 4, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You judge the peoples with equity. Is there anything that the world needs more than true, genuine equity? Because there's all kinds of inequity in the world. There's a lot of injustice, unrighteousness, unfairness. You won't find that with God. He judges the world in perfect equity, which is a fearful thing if you are still in your sins. But it's a marvelous thing if you have seen His justice poured out on the Son in your place. For His sovereignty, verse 4, You will guide the nations upon earth. So when you come to know God's graciousness and His power and His fairness and His sovereignty, you also worship Him the way He deserves to be worshipped. So when we go to the Lord and say, Lord, we are asking You to bless us, it's not just so that our life will be easier, or that our job better paying, or that our health better. It is so that we might then take those blessings and use them for the purpose of shaking the world so that they might see the glory and the goodness and the graciousness and the equity and the justice and the power of our God. And they might say, hey, can we come worship Him too? And we say, yeah. but I'm not your color. Don't care. Come on. But I'm from a nation that fought against you in a war. Doesn't matter. You're one of us. Come on in and worship. But I don't have as nice a clothes as you do. Doesn't matter. Come on in. Sit with us and worship. But I'm not as well educated as you are. We don't care. The door is open. Sit here with you, with us, and let's all together worship the God who has been gracious and merciful to us and has shown His power to save and in whom we are trusting. Now, if that's really the God that we say we believe, if that's really the God that we say is our God, and I love that at the end of the verse, verse 6, God, our God, shall bless us. We're not talking about somebody else's God. We're talking about our God. He's ours personally. If we really believe this about Him, then let's not be timid and tepid in our request of Him. Let's be bold. I want to tell you 5 requests that I am making of God. Big, hairy, audacious requests. 5 requests that I am going to invite you, if you want, to join me in praying. If you're a member of CPR, Cross Point Prayer Recruits, you're going to get a steady dose, a steady diet of these requests in the emails. I'm going to tell you about 5 of them. These are my personal ones. I think the other elders will be great with them, but don't hold them responsible for what I'm laying in front of you. When I laid down these things on paper, I put them through this grid. The first thing I asked is this. If God were to answer this request yes, would it honor Him? And would it extend His purposes in this world? Not would it make my life better. Not would it increase our revenues here necessarily, although it will. But will it extend His purposes on earth? The second grid that I move this through is a reminder to myself that God is sovereign, I'm not. And we always have to be humble before God when we make these requests to say His ways are not our ways. And though we make of them what we make them, He reserves the right to say no. In some cases, because He's going to do more abundantly above what we have asked or thought. In some cases, because His purposes are extended in a greater way by saying no. Paul made very, very big audacious requests when he said to the Lord, I would be more beneficial to your service if you would take this thorn in the flesh. I don't think Paul wanted his thorn in the flesh to be removed simply because it would give him a better quality of life, although it would have. But because he believed that he would be a better minister of the Lord without that physical infirmity, whatever it was. That was a big, audacious request on his part, and he made it 3 times. And finally, God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. So Paul said, okay, Lord, if that's your answer, fine. So I make these requests before the Lord with the full knowledge that He, in fact, may say, no, I have a different plan and a different purpose, and I'm fine with that. His ways are not my ways, and He's far wiser than I am. But that knowledge does not deter me from being bold. With the limited knowledge I have of what He is doing in this world, I really believe that if He answers these requests, His purposes and His plans and His goals will be extended in this world. And I want to be part of that. I don't mind remaining a David as long as He gives us a few Goliaths to slay. I want our reach to extend far beyond what our size would lead people to believe could be done. I want us to do for Christ and for His kingdom that which is greater than what our size today would imply that we could. That way, if it happens, nobody here is going to look at one another and say, wow, look at what we did. Instead, we're going to look at one another and say, can you believe what God did? You okay with that? We give Him the credit, not ourselves? Yeah, we operate around here on this premise. If it goes bad, we take the blame. If it goes good, He gets the glory. That's okay, right? Here are my requests. What I've tried to do is think ahead of what I would love for God to do in our church and what it would take to get there. And that then evolved into these five requests that I am making. The big, hairy request number one that I would make of God is that by 2020, 10 years from now, 50% of our church giving, all of the offerings that come into the offering plate at the end of the service, 50% of all of our church giving is allocated to outreach and missions. Outreach and missions. That's not a small thing. There's only one church in the country that I know that does that. And they've been doing it for many, many years. There are probably more. I'm not familiar with them. Number two, by 2020, our congregation has sent more than 10 people into Christian vocational service. Pastors, missionaries, that our body, over the next 10 years, will send on average one person, that could be five couples, whatever, but one person per year into Christian vocational service. By 2015, 5 years from now, our church has doubled in attendance, mainly through conversions and discipleship, and that by 2020, it doubles again, either here or in church plants in our area. I want us to see God work mightily here in addition to Myanmar and Iraq and Somalia. I want Him to see Him work right here in Northwest Missouri and Northeast Kansas in a powerful way. And frankly, if we are going to send 10 people out of this congregation into service, we've got to grow. If we are going to see 50% of our church giving allocated to outreach and missions, we need more people here. That means in 5 years, the 140 that gather on a regular basis are 280, and in 10 years, it's 560 or around 600 people, right here or in church plants in this area. By 2015, 5 years from now, I am asking the Lord to make 80% of the believers in our congregation, and I hope that we are going to have many unbelievers that will be an active part of this church's life, as I've talked to you about in recent weeks. But 80% of the believers in this congregation actively producing members in the context of our church's ministry. Producers, not consumers. 80%. Tony, why not 100%? Because the fact of the matter is, I trust that there will always be a steady flow of believers that will be coming in, who will be brand new, who will be watching, who haven't taken membership vows yet, and are seeing what we're doing here, that 20% will eventually turn into producers. Now, here's the big one. If 50% of our church giving is allocated to outreach and missions, if we are going to send 10 people into Christian vocational service, if our church is going to double in attendance, mainly through conversions and discipleship, if 80% of the believers in our congregation are actively producing members, there is one more thing that needs to happen in order to get the financial wherewithal to do all of this. I am praying, and I'm going to invite you to pray, that in the next 10 years, every family that is sitting here in this place today will be 100% and entirely, completely debt-free. That dollars that are now going to credit card companies and mortgages and auto loans are instead able to be funneled back in to the production and proclamation of the name of God in the world. If we are to have the kind of reach that I am asking the Lord to give to us, then we have to see God bless this congregation financially so that people then take that blessings, pay off their obligations to other people, have savings available to them in emergencies, that they might give increasingly large numbers of money, not so that we can add lots and lots of staff here or pay the staff we have better, but so that we might then be able to afford to pay 50% of our income out to the outreach of this congregation. We are going to grow, and as we grow, we may have to add staff. But every staff member that we add means dollars in overhead that we can't now allocate for outreach and missions. That's not in and of itself bad. We may need additional staff members. But if we can take a large portion of consumers in this congregation and create producers out of them, then we have less of a need for additional staff members so that those dollars are then allocated to the real work that we want to do, which is outreach and missions. But the work of the ministry has to happen. So if we remain a church of consumers instead of producers, then we have to hire the producers to come in and produce. But if increasingly large groups of people say, look, I'm tired of sitting on the sidelines, I'm not interested in drifting into heaven, let me roll up my sleeves and get busy for the work of the kingdom, then that means less overhead in terms of hired staff, vocational Christian workers. And that means more of the dollars that come into the offering plate can go right back out to outreach and missions. Now, what I've been preaching on the last several weeks, do you see how it's all beginning to tie together? See how it's all coming together in a fabric, in a matrix? I need you to begin to think seriously about your role in the context of this church. Because if we are making these requests of God, we've got to be willing to say, Lord, here am I, what can I do? We'll have strategies to push all of these things forward. I saw a number of people's heads bob when I said get debt free. If you want that, we will give you the steps to get there and help you to do it. What does it mean for church plants? I don't know. I honestly don't know. The reason I don't is that as we grow, we have to have structural overhead. We couldn't put 280 people in this building right now. So whether we have to extend the size of this complex as we now have in our plans, or whether we start planting churches elsewhere, it's still capital intensive to begin to put up structures. It's not cheap to do that. So we're making a really big request of God. We're saying we want to grow and we want to expand. And oh yeah, by the same token, we want to give 50% of everything that comes in away to the work of spreading your name and spreading your renown. That's a big request. A big one. Can God do this? You bet He can. That's a rhetorical question too. If you had shaken your head, no, I was going to dismiss you. Think about it. Of sitting here together in 2020 and knowing that 50 cents of every dollar that you put in the offering plate is going to spread the name of God around the world. Think about in 10 years of looking on that wall, and I don't know if you can't see it right now, but a globe, a map of the world has been sketched on that wall. It'll be painted sometime soon. And imagine being able to walk over to that wall and see places around the world, 10 or more of our own people that have gone out into Christian service. Imagine opening up your checkbook and hearing of somebody who just lost their job or somebody that is in need or a missionary letter that has just come in and being able to pull that checkbook out and write a check and drop it into the offering plate and not even having to think about it. Imagine the joy that that would bring to you if you could do that 10 years from now. Imagine getting together with close to 600 people, 80% of whom are committed Christians who are actively engaged in the ministry and singing, "How Great Thou Art." Can God do that? He absolutely can. Will He? Time will tell. It's His will, not ours. But I, for one, am praying. And if you belong to the CPR, I'm going to lay that before you to pray. And if you have some of your own Bihars, you and your wife, your children, your family, you get together, you say, "Here are the big, hairy, audacious requests we are going to make of the Lord. Send them to the CPR. We'll pray for them." And if you don't belong to the CPR and you want, it's not too late. Come on and join us. And let's put our faith to the test. He's a great God. Let's ask Him to bless us and be gracious to us and be merciful to us and shine His face upon us so that more and more people around the world will come to know Him for His grace and His equity and His strength to save. And join us in reverent, joyful worship. Let's pray. Our Father, enlarge our hearts, enlarge our vision, give us believing hearts, with man it seems impossible, with God all things are possible. Convince us of that. For we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, whose name deserves to be lauded by every tribe and tongue and nation under heaven. Amen.